our life, we see about the gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit, but also understand the character of Jesus as we allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be born in our lives. And so we're looking for balance in the things of God. And just a reminder that these gifts of the Holy Spirit are simply tools. They're spiritual tools. God has called you to do things for Him, work for Him. Spiritual work for Him, work of spiritual significance, work that's going to survive, work that is going to survive beyond the grave. In order to do that spiritual work, you are going to need spiritual tools. It's not enough doing it with your own natural abilities and talents. Now, God will use those, God will work through those, yes, but unless we're using the spiritual tools that God's given us, we're not going to be effective. It's like a worker going to do some work, having a bag full of tools, and then just trying to use their bare hands to do some work, when really they need to open the bag, get the tools out. If they don't use those tools, they're not going to be effective. And we are not going to be effective in what God's called us to do unless we learn to use the spiritual gifts, the tools that He has for us to do the job. And so we're not just looking at these things because they're fun or they're interesting or it's kind of nice to know. These spiritual gifts are absolutely essential. If we're going to be able to be effective in what God's called us to do, we need to learn to use the tools. They're tools of our trade. They're spiritual tools. We started looking at the gift of tongues. We looked at the gift of prophecy. Today we're going to do a bit more about the gift of prophecy, and we're going to look on at the gift of word of knowledge and gift of word of wisdom. We're learning about the gifts that are listed in the Bible so that we can find out what they are, unpack them, and learn to use them so we can be effective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, Paul starts to list some of the gifts. And he says, to one person is given the gift of word or message of wisdom. To another is given the gift of message or word of knowledge. And we're going to look at prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom today, and see how these gifts can be used, how we can use these gifts. Let's pray together. Father, we come, Lord, humbly before You, aware, Lord, that if we're going to be able to fulfill the calling on our lives, we're going to need to be able to be trained to use the gifts, these tools that You've given us. So, Lord, we're asking for the Holy Spirit of revelation to be amongst us today, to teach us, to show us, to lead us, that we go from this place and we would in our daily lives be using these tools, finding out about them and using them, that we will be effective. We will be very effective in what You've called us to. That we wouldn't be those that struggle with our bare hands, but those that use the powerful tools of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, teach us, equip us, release these gifts amongst us. Amen. One of the visitors that comes to the church and speaks from time to time is our friend Michael Ross Watson, Michael and Esther Ross Watson. And Michael told me of an instance where he was visiting a church. No, sorry, he wasn't visiting a church. He was visiting a hospital. And in the hospital, he was visiting the hospital and he met a family there in the hospital. He didn't know the family. They weren't Christians. And he got talking to them. And when he finished talking to them, he had a good time talking to them. Then he left and went on his way home. As he was going home, God spoke to him to continue to talk to that family, to go and say some more to that family. The problem was he hadn't written down the name and address of that family. It's a bit tricky. He lived at that time in Croydon. Croydon's a big place. So as he prayed, he felt that God gave him in his spirit, it wasn't that he remembered it, but in his spirit, just dropped the name of a street. Never heard of the street, didn't know where it was. Got out his A to Z to Croydon, looked it up, the street, drove in his car to that street. Unfortunately, he got to the street, there were lots of houses in that street. So he prayed, and he said, God, can You show me what it is You want me to do? And God gave him, in his spirit, a number. This all found, went to the house, knocked on the door, and you imagine that family's surprise. out of hundreds of thousands of dwellings there are in Croydon, for this person who they've seen in the hospital to be there at the door and be able to say something more about God that God wanted them to say. Now, Michael didn't, it wasn't something that he kind of worked out or remembered. It was a gift from heaven. It was God speaking, because God had a job for him to do. And we're looking this morning at supernatural revelation from God for a purpose in our lives. And we're going to be looking at this gift of word of knowledge, which is where God speaks to us something we can't find out with our senses, or we haven't found out with our senses, but God just puts it in our spirit. We're going to be looking also a little bit at a word of knowledge, about word of wisdom. But I want to start in prophecy, because this whole thing of word of knowledge and word of wisdom very much flow out of the prophetic. And so just to kind of pick up where we left off last time with prophecy, what we looked at last time is that prophecy is this gift in the Bible that is the most mentioned of all the gifts. Prophecy is mentioned more than any other gift in the Bible. And in fact, some writers have called it the most of gifts. The most of gifts. The reason why it's most of gifts is it's the most mentioned in the Bible. It's the most explained. The Apostle Paul goes to great lengths explaining this gift. It's the gift that most builds up, strengthens the church. It's the most useful for the church in terms of strengthening. It's the most available to all. It's the gift that is available to all the church. And it's the gift that Paul promotes the most. He says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Because there's something in prophecy which is especially important for the church. Prophetic, the whole area of prophetic, is some kind of revelation from heaven. Some sense that God is speaking to me for something to bless you, something to encourage you, something through me, that I'm a channel that God would put something in my heart that would encourage and bless, something from God to you, and I'm simply the person who God uses to bring that. This whole sense of prophetic is a sense of being able to listen here, to hear what God's saying. Now, the starting point for understanding God's heart for us and prophecy goes way back in the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, we see there Moses. Moses was the leader. He was a prophet. He heard God. And he was finding it hard to look after 1 million, 2 million people of God, the Israelites. And so God said, choose 72 other people, 72, and I will put my spirit on them, and they too will be leaders and prophets as you are. And so the Holy Spirit came upon those 72. Moses was so thrilled by what happened. This is what he said in Numbers 11:29. Moses said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them all. The heart of Moses, way back there in the Old Testament, where Moses is saying, I wish all God's people were prophets. Not just me, not just these 72, but all God's people were prophets. And that the Holy Spirit would be upon them all. Joel in chapter 2, the prophet Joel, picks that up hundreds of years later and says a promise from God, saying, we're in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, the promise comes from God through the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all of his people, and all God's people will prophesy. Sons, daughters, servants, everyone will prophesy. The promise. Then a few hundred years later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and preaches. And he says, what was promised, what was in the heart of Moses, what was promised through the prophet Joel, now, today, it is fulfilled. Now, in this church age, now the Holy Spirit is poured out on all God's people, all the church. And therefore, this whole thing of prophecy is for us all. That's the kind of background to where we got to last time. And we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was there just saying to us in verse 1, I want you to be eager. Be eager to prophesy. In the last verse, verse 39 of chapter 14, again he says, be eager to prophesy. In verse 5 of chapter 14, he says, this is for everyone. Prophecy is for everyone. And again in verse 31, he says, you can each prophesy in turn. There Paul's explaining this wonderful gift of prophecy. And I want to look this week at the place of prophecy in the church. One of the things about prophecy that's helpful to see is a contrast, not exactly a contrast, but more a working together of prophecy and scripture. Just kind of, because sometimes it's not clear. I've been unclear. What is the significance and the purpose of prophecy and the place and the significance of scripture? How do these kind of two things, prophecy and scripture, kind of work together? And one thing to understand about New Testament prophecy is New Testament prophecy is subjective. That Paul explains in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says we prophesy in part. So the prophecy that we bring, that God's looking for us all to bring, is in part. It's a partial revelation of God. And there's a contrast between New Testament prophecy and between the revelation of in the Bible, between what the Bible says, the teaching of the Bible. There's a contrast. Because the contrast in the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, that the Bible is the objective revelation of God. And it gets illuminated by the Spirit so we can understand it. But it's something which is fixed and which is full and which the Bible claims for itself is perfect, flawless, without error, and is the very words of God. In fact, it was as though God himself was breathing out. As he breathed out, what was breathed out was the Bible. And so that the Bible claims for itself to be the very utter words of God. New Testament prophecy isn't like that. Because New Testament prophecy is what we think, what we feel God is saying. Do you see the difference between the two? One is objective, one is subjective. They're both important. They're both explained in the Bible as important. But nevertheless, there's an important difference between the two. In the Bible, Paul, particularly the Apostle Paul, but brings the kind of place of the Bible, very much explains the Bible as something which is over our lives, something which has authority in itself. It has authority over us. In other words, the Bible isn't something down there for me to pass an opinion over, to see what I think and take the bits I like and reject the bits I don't. But that the Bible is something over me that has authority over my life and that speaks into my life with the authoritative words of God into all areas of my life. That it's flawless, that it's perfect, that it's timeless. My response to the Bible is God says it, I'm going to believe it. Which is why, as you've heard in the fruit of the Spirit so far with love and joy and peace and praise, what we've heard each of the speakers say is the power of learning the Bible, because as we learn the very words of God, it generates an engine of change inside us, which then enables us to experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the character of Jesus. Because the very Word of God starts to live in our hearts. Because it's the Word of God, but the Bible is the very Word of God. You often hear people talk about the Bible as the Word or the Word of God for that very reason. Now that's the claim of the Bible. The claim of the Bible is it is that. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, it's as we look at the Bible and understand it and come to see that the claim of the Bible, it's true. That's what the Bible is. And therefore, if it is the Word of God, I want to accept it, receive it, and believe it. However, contrast that or bring alongside that prophecy, which Paul explained, prophecy is in part. He says in heaven, prophecy will disappear. It will stop. When Jesus returns again, when he wraps everything up, we go to heaven, there won't be prophecy. Prophecy, New Testament prophecy, the prophecy we can give one to another, the prophecy we can, in our cell groups or on a Sunday or whenever, we can give, it's what we feel God is saying. It's, I get a sense that God is saying this, and it could be saying this about a particular situation now, or it could be about the future, it could be something predictive about the future, what God said. But it's subjective, because I'm bringing what I feel God's saying. Doesn't mean it's not valuable. Doesn't mean it's not important. Paul says it's very, very important. It's the most important of gifts, Paul said. But when it comes to the authority and place of it, it's really kind of important to kind of see this, see the kind of balance here. Because, as I said, the Bible, it stands above us and it stands to correct us and keep us on track. Keep us in the will of God. Keep us in the purpose of God. Prophecy comes alongside. And Paul, to the Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, in the context of prophecy, he said, test it. test everything. Whatever prophecy you get, test it. Now, we're never encouraged. It's not up to us to evaluate and test the Word of God, the Bible. It's up to us to believe it, receive it, and do it. But prophecy is something that comes alongside. The Scripture is over us. Prophecy is alongside us. So as prophecy comes alongside us, it's my responsibility to test it, to see what is God saying through that prophecy. Person's given me a prophecy. What is God saying through that prophecy? He tells the church in 1 Corinth. It's like in Corinthians, in Corinth. In 14:29, he says, the prophets, two or three prophets should speak, others should weigh carefully what is said. In other words, we're looking to weigh, in a prophecy, we've got to decide from what's said, what is actually God speaking, what is that person's own opinion. And so we're encouraged to evaluate prophecy. Over on the information point, there's a little leaflet here. Which goes through this in more detail. Please feel free, if you're new to kind of this sort of stuff, then please feel free to grab one of those on the way out, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through that, but just to kind of to get some more kind of background to study that. But what Paul does say also to the church in Thessalonica, he says, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Don't think, oh, it's just a prophecy. It's not as good as something else. Because don't treat it with contempt. Because God does speak through prophecy. And he speaks, because it comes to a person, as a prophecy comes to a person, what I need to do is be open to take what is good and not to take what isn't good. What God is saying, I need to receive it. And if you're not sure about how to do that, then grab one of these leaflets at the end. Because it's important. This whole thing of prophecy, we want to be this prophetic church that Paul was describing, that Peter was saying on the day of Pentecost, a church where prophecy is the flavor of what happens. In our meetings, in our cell meetings, our Sunday meetings, that the prophetic is a flavor of everything we do. But there's obviously a balance in that, in how we understand and receive that whatever prophecy comes. So the balance between the Bible and prophecy is very, very important. I wanted to now just to kind of look at two gifts, these two gifts of word of knowledge and of word of wisdom, because I think they're very linked with prophecy. They're part of the revelatory gifts. They're part of the gifts that God reveals things to us. God reveals things inside to us, direct from heaven. See, in the Old Testament, a prophet was a man or a woman who had a direct communication line with God. A prophet was someone special in that they stood in a relationship with God that other people didn't have. Other people couldn't hear God directly like prophets could, but prophets could go to God and God would speak to them for their lives or for other people's lives, and so they had a special relationship with God. Now, do you see the earnest, do you see the kind of passion on Moses' heart? Moses thought, this is great, I've got a direct hotline with God. I want all God's people to have this direct hotline with God. Joel said, God's promise, you will all have this direct hotline with God. Peter then said, now is the time. We now, as God's people, we now have that direct hotline with God. And so the purpose of the prophetic, these whole revelatory gifts, is that it's not just for one or two special people, but that any Christian can hear what God's saying. And this is the privileged place we stand. That's why the church is a prophetic group of people, because as individuals, we can each hear what God's saying. But remember, we prophesy in part. We learn to prophesy. We grow in prophecy. It says in Romans 12, prophesy in according to your faith. So as you get to know God more, you can hear God more clearly as you go on with God in your relationship with God. But it's something, it's the wonder of what it means to be part of God's church, is that we have got access to God himself. And so in this whole kind of place we stand with God, one of the tools is this gift of prophecy, where God will give something to me to encourage you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. You need strengthening, you need encouragement, and you need comfort. I do too. So we need a flow of prophecy if that's going to happen in the church. But as well, there's these other things called word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Now, what Paul doesn't do, unfortunately, Paul gives them one line in 1 Corinthians 12:8. He said, oh, by the way, these other gifts. He doesn't go into the huge detail that he does about the gift of prophecy. And so, you know, in terms of understanding them, just we can see these gifts and understand them by the way they're used, by how we see them used in the Bible. So you see them used in the Bible, it helps us understand. And they're used in the Bible in the terms of the prophetic. If you've got your Bibles today, I was hoping to show you on the overhead, but we're kind of a little bit lacking in that thing today. So if you've got a Bible today, 2 Kings and chapter 6, where we're looking at a part in the history of the people of Israel, where there was a problem with Syria, the king of Syria, or Aram, and there was war between Syria and Israel. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8 to 12. Now, this word of knowledge or message of knowledge basically is some sense of something being revealed to my spirit that I couldn't or didn't find out with my senses. So a word of knowledge, a message of knowledge is something, some knowledge that comes to me supernaturally. And so you see that borderlines on prophetic, because that borderlines on prophecy. Word of wisdom is where God gives me some supernatural wisdom beyond my normal kind of wisdom. I'm 43 years old. So as 43 years old, I've had made some ups and downs, made some mistakes. From those mistakes, I've hopefully learned a few things. Probably got to make more mistakes and learn some more things. But we each, as you go on, we get some wisdom naturally. But word of wisdom or message of wisdom is some kind of supernatural gift of wisdom, some kind of wisdom that's needed for a situation. Let's look at this passage in 2 Kings 6. The king of Syria, or Aram, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set my camp in such and such a place." The man of God, who was Elisha at that time, sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Syrians, Arameans, are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God, by the prophet, by Elisha. Time and again, Elisha the prophet warned the king, so he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Syria, as you can imagine. He summoned his officers and said, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord and king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." You see, this prophet had a hotline to heaven. Because he was a prophet, he heard the words of God. And so God revealed and showed him things that he didn't know. It wasn't that Elisha kind of eavesdropped on the king or went and pressed his ear against the king's bedroom to get the kind of the details of what was happening. God showed him. God revealed it to him. And so in the context of this prophet, in being a prophet, often in prophecy, the word of knowledge, this gift of supernatural knowledge, was given for a purpose. It was given for a purpose to rescue the people of God's people at that time. Of course, Jesus was a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. He was the prophet. He was the greatest prophet. And in Matthew 17:27, there's a remarkable story. Matthew 17:27 about some tax that was due. Jesus had to pay some tax. It's an interesting story. If you owe some tax, it's an interesting one, this is. Because Jesus said to Peter, "Go to the lake. And when you get to the lake, cast out a line. Whatever first fish bites the line, pull the fish in. Open the fish's mouth. In that fish's mouth, you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take that money and pay my tax and your tax with it." Now that is supernatural knowledge. How do you know that a fish, particularly the first fish you're going to catch, happens to have a coin in its mouth? Amazing. But Jesus knew. It's supernatural information from heaven for a purpose. He was demonstrating his divinity, demonstrating the power of God. In Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, people are questioning what Jesus is doing. And they're kind of thinking, who is this man and what is he up to? And they're thinking negative things about Jesus. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 8, it says this: "Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts." Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they're thinking in their hearts. They were thinking negative things about him. And so, do you see, I think this describes the word of knowledge. This little phrase here describes the gift of word of knowledge. Jesus knew in his spirit. He didn't guess by the expression on their face. He didn't kind of hear a little whisper in the background. But he knew in his spirit. And so the gift of word of knowledge is knowing something in our spirits. See, God's made us spirit, soul, and body. And with our body, we can touch, feel, taste, we can sense the world around us. With our minds, we can work things out. We can put two and two together and guess an answer to something. And we can sort of suss situations out and people out. But we've got a spirit. And the Bible describes that before I'm a Christian, that spirit is dead. When I become a Christian, I'm born again. That spirit becomes alive in me. I'm born again. My spirit becomes a new creature, a new creation. And I'm open to the Spirit of God. Whereas before I was locked out of and against the Spirit of God, being born again, being a Christian, my spirit inside is now alive to the Spirit of God and now connected to the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God inhabits and I've got a direct hotline to God. That is the whole excitement that Peter had on the day of Pentecost. That now the whole church, we're all born again. We've all got a direct hotline to God. There's something deep within us which is connected to God. And that means that we can hear God. That means we don't have to go to the prophet and say, what is God saying? I've got this problem in my life. God, what do I do about it? I need to know. Prophet, tell me what the answer is. Because each of us has the privilege of being connected to heaven. And so through these revelatory gifts, we can hear for our own lives, but also we can hear for each other. I can hear things from God that will encourage you and bless you. It may be today that you're finding it such a struggle. Carolyn was honest about describing her struggle. In the midst of a struggle, sometimes we can't even hear what God's saying. I'm struggling so much I can't hear because I'm in such pain. I'm in such a place. And then the wonderful thing is other Christians can hear for me and can come and love me and can prophesy and can bring word of knowledge and word of wisdom into my life to help me see that God really does love me. He really does care. He really has got a plan and purpose for my life. There's nothing more wonderful than knowing that God really cares. One meeting here at New Life, I came to the meeting. As I walked into the meeting, there was a visitor, and as I came in, just God spoke in my spirit that this particular person who was a visitor, there was an issue in their life that God wanted to encourage them about. And so as the meeting went on, there was an opportunity, I can't remember whether it was the middle of the meeting or the end of the meeting, I got up and I just said, I believe that today there's one person, this person here, and I described the situation that God had shown me, and that God wants to really encourage you and really kind of do something fresh in your life. And then just left it. No pressure. It's just there. And then that person then got up out of their seat, came to the front, and was able to really encourage them because they knew that somebody, God, really cares. And God cares enough to speak to somebody else in the church about it to bring that encouragement and that love and that compassion. Do you see why these gifts are so fantastic? Because through them, we can encourage each other. We can see the encouragement flow in the church as we're willing to be open and listen to God, not just for my own life, but for each other. Because God wants to see strengthening encouragement and comfort flow, that we're a people that overflow. God's People was a book written years ago, and it was called The Happiest People on Earth. It was describing Christians, our calling. Because we're a people who have the potential to overflow continuously with the goodness of God. Not that we don't go through very difficult trials and situations and real things that sometimes, as Calvin was saying, go on for 7 years, go on for however many years. But that God has given us the potential to be those that overflow with the goodness of God. And the way we release that, is by being willing to step out and love other people in the church enough to listen to God for them, to listen to God, saying, God, I want to pray today. I want to pray for Trudy today. God, what is it you want to say to encourage her and bless her? Is there some area of your life you want to... And as I listened to God, and I just said, God's just shown me that he really wants her to know that he is going to stand by her whatever happens. And as I just share that, if today that Trudy's just been going through some situation where she's just feeling, God, I really need to know this. And I come and say, without her telling me, that God wants you to know that he really wants to stand by, she is just going to know, wow, that is amazing. God really, really does care for me. Now, we've experienced that. We know that. I want to encourage you this morning to release this across the church. There are a number of people here who have pushed ahead in our church in prophecy and word of knowledge. And it's fantastic. Do you know what? I want to encourage you today. We need these tools. We need them more. We need them every meeting. We need them every cell group. We need them every time we meet together. They're there. They're tools that are intended for us to use to bring encouragement one to another. That we can release this wonderful blessing. Isn't it fantastic? In John 10, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. Thank you. A little bleat from over there, a little sheep. And we're part of God's flock. As part of God's flock, we can hear his voice. Now, We come to hear God's voice better the more time we spend with him, the time we wait upon him, the time we spend reading the Bible, we get to hear his voice better and better. But every person from the day they get born again, our spirit is alive and we can hear what God's saying. But the more time we spend with God, the more time we just wait for him, worship him, love him, open ourselves to him, get to wait on him, know him, read the Bible, our knowledge of God increases. So it's like tuning a radio into God. We kind of start off by hearing him, I think, a bit fuzzy. As you kind of tune the thing in, it gets more and more kind of on signal. And the more we kind of do this, the more confidence we have. Our faith grows for hearing God. And so God enables us to grow in this whole area of hearing him. You know that you can hear God. You can hear God for your own life. You can hear God for the life of your family around you. And you can hear God for your friends and for others in the church and beyond. You can hear God. I want you to allow that to sink in your heart this morning. You and I, we can hear God's voice. Now, this is a loving place. It's an accepting place. We're not judging or criticizing anyone. So you can feel free, you can step out. There's a wonderful security and love amongst us. We can step out. We're learning together. The reason why God is speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that we can learn together to grow in these gifts. And I want you to feel free to grow in this gift of prophecy, of word of knowledge, and of word of wisdom. I'm going to come back to word of wisdom another week. We're going to look specifically at word of wisdom together with spiritual discernment and discerning of spirits. We're going to look those gifts together, those things together as a separate thing. So that's why I haven't talked about it very much today. But one of the ways the word of wisdom is used is that it is together with the word of knowledge. Because if God shows me something, say I'm praying, and God gives me something, an insight for Bob's life, something to encourage him. I need to know, God, what do I need to do? Do I need to pray this for Bob? Do I need to just get on my knees, not say anything to Bob, but just get down and pray it? Or do I need to go to him and say, look, I feel God's showed me this. I want to encourage you with it. This is what God says. Or is it something to come in the meeting, the end of the meeting in our time of ministry, and say, I feel God show me this. One or two people here this morning, God wants to do this, that in their lives. God, what do I need to do? With what you've shown me, with this message of knowledge, what's the wisdom of what to do with it? So you can see already how the wisdom and knowledge work together. We just have to ask God and believe that God would show us and show us exactly what he wants us to do. This morning, what I wanted us to do is to step into our inheritance, step into what God's given us, step into these gifts, step into a release in using these gifts of the prophetic, and particularly the word of knowledge. But this morning we grow in these things. That wherever you're up to in your use of hearing God's voice, the use of these gifts and ability to hear God's voice, you take that step. I know some people said to me, I can't hear God's voice. I don't think I can hear God's voice. You are here, I guarantee you're hearing God's voice far more than you ever realized. The problem is that we don't recognize it. And that over a period of time, it's training ourselves to listen to God's voice and having faith that we can hear God's voice. We hear God's voice so much as we read the Bible. You read through the Bible and suddenly a verse jumps out at you. You read then suddenly you stop and think, wow, as you come across a verse. That's God speaking to you. That's the voice of God speaking through His Word to you. It's all the Word of God, but there's times where God wants just to highlight a scripture to you. You may be praying for somebody. I was praying for somebody, and suddenly a verse from the Bible comes into my head. Because God wants, that's a particular verse that's appropriate for that person, a particular point. And so, I just want us to kind of exercise our faith muscles today and move forward into these things. Let's stand together, shall we? And have the musicians come and help us. We've got an overhead back, that's good.
The wonderful collapsing overhead projector. I was, as Paul was sharing this morning, a couple of thoughts came to me. One is something that David Watson, some of you who've lived long enough will remember David Watson used to say. He was an Anglican vicar up in York. And he used to say that we should be naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural. In other words, that there's nothing, you don't have to kind of put on a funny voice or behave strangely to move in the gifts of the Spirit. It should be something that is so natural, something that as we learn to listen to God, we could use in the workplace or in church. You don't have to be doing anything specially spiritual. We just need to be in faith. But it should be a natural thing. Certainly it helped me when I thought that, I suddenly thought one day, if somebody said something to me, that God gave them a picture or something, well, it's just their imagination. Well, who gave you your imagination? Who gave you your mind's eye, that ability to just see something in your mind? Of course, it was God. And we need to believe that He will speak through us through every facet of our being. And as we believe God will speak to us, He will speak to us. But it'll be something so natural. So you're sitting in the meeting and maybe you have a picture of something and you think, well, that's not God. But you go to enough meetings to know that somebody else says something and it confirms what you had. So you know that it was right in the first place. And it's great to have an environment where we can have courage and boldness to share what God gives us. And that's how it is this morning, because we all love one another. And Paul has shared with us that prophecy is imperfect. So you don't have to worry about getting it right. In fact, this morning, you don't even have to worry about the use of that word of knowledge wisely. Because what I'm going to suggest is that if God shows you something and you kind of half think it might be God, or maybe you hear something or a verse comes to mind, just come to Paul and he could share it for you, or you could share it. So you don't have to worry about that. But I feel that we've reached a point in life. Maybe I've just reached a point in life where I just want to be bold. Perhaps I don't care as much about making a fool of myself as I used to be, but I just want to do what God says. So if God says, if I feel we should do something, I'll move on that and do it and not worry about it. And I believe the more we give what God gives us, the more He'll give us. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. So as we give, God gives us more. So two things. Just believe that God can speak to you in a very natural way, and you may doubt what you have, but just trust that it's God, and then come and just have a word with Paul, and we could share what God's saying to you, or just come straight to me, or take the microphone, whatever. It doesn't matter. But you can talk to Paul if you're not sure, or you're not feeling quite brave enough. That's fine. But let's be bold, let's be expectant, and in this atmosphere of love and faith, we can just move with the things that God gives us. I've often hear people, I talked to after the meeting, they said, God showed me this, I thought that, and I thought, oh, it's such a pity you didn't say that, just because they weren't quite brave enough to step out. So let's be bold this morning. I also find that sometimes if I'm trying to concentrate too much on getting something from God, I don't hear very much. And sometimes when we could just focus on Jesus and praising and loving him and worshiping him, in that just looking to him, and I'm not even thinking about it, God just speaks something to me. So we're just going to spend a little time just worshiping God, just fixing our eyes on him, just praising him and adoring him. And as we do that, let's expect the Holy Spirit to just speak to one, two, three, four people this morning, and then be bold. And because, as Paul was saying, do we love one another enough to step out with what gives us? Some of you, how many of you know this one? I call it the miracle song.